You know, this is a recurring theme in Luke's gospel, and this is why I want to leave you with this. This theme occurs in the parables that Jesus tells here in Luke's gospel. It occurs in his deeds, in his actions, the way he treats people. And again, we see the grace of God given to the least deserving. We see forgiveness extended to the worst of sinners. And this was shocking to men like Simon the Pharisee. Read with me as we continue this story following this act of love in which she is touching the feet of Jesus and pouring her perfume and washing his feet. In verse 39 it says, "When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And the other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' And Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" This is one of many such stories that we find in the gospel. The gospel is filled with the grace of God. And I want to just do a little sampling this morning, looking at how Jesus embodied the grace of God in his mercy and forgiveness. There's that story of the workers in the vineyard. You remember the first group got there early and they were told, if you'll go out and work in the vineyard for the day, you'll be paid a denarius. Well, mid-morning, a group came along and the owner of the vineyard told them, he didn't promise them a denarius. He said, "I'll pay you what's right." And so the mid-morning group starts out. Another group comes at noon, and they're sent to work with no real promise of a specific amount. Mid-afternoon, another group goes out. They are not given a specific promise of how much they'll be paid. And then at quitting time, they all come to collect their pay, and they're all paid a full day's wage. They're all paid a denarius. And when those who had worked the whole day began to complain that those who'd only worked a quarter of the day got paid the same, the owner of the vineyard there in Matthew 20:15 said, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" You see, Jesus, in telling this story, introduces his hearers, many of them for the very first time, to a God who gives as much for an hour's wage as he does for a full day's wage of work. It doesn't make sense. They didn't understand how God could treat someone that well who had not done as much as the next fellow. You see, grace is doing what God wants to do with his own money. He told the story of the forgiven debtor in Matthew 18. There it says, the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. God can do what he wants to do with his own money. He can even refuse to collect it if he chooses to do so. But instead of conveying that grace on to the next in line, that forgiven debtor was unforgiving toward one who only owed him a pittance. And there in that story it says, the master called him in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? One thing that Jesus introduces into the equation is that grace requires that we pass it forward. Grace received means grace given. He told the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Another story of grace. A father who had been personally wounded and publicly disgraced does the completely unexpected. If Jesus had told half that story and asked the crowd, now how does the story finish? They could have all finished the story because they all knew what any father of that day and age would do to a boy that had done that. He deserved punishment. He deserved probation. But instead he got a robe and a ring, new shoes and a party. And the older brother seemed to be the only one who had any real sense about the whole injustice of it, and he said, it's wrong. What you've done for him is wrong. This prodigal had wasted half the family's fortune, and now the father was being extravagant in spending even more money on this boy that had shamed them all. And the message is the same. Grace is God doing what he wants to do with his money. And it's seen throughout the teachings of Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount, this comes through loud and clear. He talks about how God cares for the birds and how God cares for the flowers of the field. I am always thrilled every spring when I put out my hummingbird feeder and the first hummingbirds come. We've got just a pair. We only put out one feeder and there's a pair that come back every year. And I take great pride that I'm keeping two little hummingbirds alive for the summer. God cares for the birds around this world. He feeds them. He knows when one of them falls. And I have pride in my flower garden. And I love to see my irises grow. And I love to see my other flowers bloom there. And I fertilize them and I water them and I keep them going. And yet God, from our standpoint, seemingly effortlessly covers whole fieldsides and mountainsides with flowers. And the message is clear. God is overflowing with grace. It's seen in all of nature, His goodness and His bounty and the way He cares for all of nature. In Matthew 18, Jesus taught a tremendous lesson on grace in terms of forgiveness. Peter thought he was going the extra mile. You remember that conversation? When he asked the question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Peter was almost saying, what a good boy am I. You know, up to seven times I would forgive someone. And Jesus just shakes his head and he puts a multiplier on it. Not seven, but 77. We have a national debt clock. I'm not sure, it's been a while since I've been in Times Square, but it used to be in Times Square, and that clock was running, and a pretty depressing sight. Now, if you get on your computer and just type in national debt clock, I did it this morning, and the numbers at the lower end there in the thousands and millions are running so fast you can't even see them. They're just a blur. The national debt, as of this morning, was approaching $20 trillion for our nation, growing all the time. I don't know how old I was. It was around whatever we term as the age of accountability, when I knew the difference between right and wrong. And for the first time in my life, I decided to tell a lie to my parents, or I did something else that I knew that was wrong. And through my teenage years, my sin clock began to turn over. At some point, I changed my attitude towards sin. There was a time when, like most of you, I didn't really care that I was sinning. But God gave me the gift of repentance. And even though I still sin, I regret every sin. And I wish I could live without sin. And I do better now than I think I did before. But I expect the day I die, my clock will still be running. And I don't know how many sins I will have accumulated on my debt clock. But the gospel that Jesus brought tells us that we serve a God who does not count the number of times that we are forgiven. Even if my sin clock reaches 20 trillion, God's capacity for forgiveness is greater than all my sins. And look at the actions of Jesus. He not only told story after story after story of His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy, He did it. Even at His lowest moment of crisis, Jesus could not stop giving, handing out grace. As He hung there on the cross, that moment that He had prayed about and asked God, if it's possible to spare me from this event, please do it, but not my will, but Your will be done. And as He hung there, about to bear the sins of the world, the man beside Him said, "Jesus, remember me when You're coming to Your kingdom." And Jesus answered him and said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with Me in paradise." What did that thief ever do? He didn't contribute to society. He had taken from society. That's why he was on the cross. But before his wretched life ended, he did one thing right. He called on Jesus. And Jesus was full of grace and mercy and freely extended that gift of pardon to one who was totally undeserving. Pure, undiluted grace. That man that day on the cross deserved hell, but he got heaven instead. And Jesus treated everyone, with love and with grace. John, the apostle, would refer to himself in his own gospel as the one whom Jesus loved. Sociologists have a theory that they call the looking glass self. And it's to do with self-esteem and how self-esteem is acquired in individuals. And this theory says that you become whatever the most important person in your life thinks you are. If the most important person in your life is your father, then your father's opinion of you is what determines your self-evaluation. If it's your spouse, if it's some mentor that you have, some person you admire, whatever they think about you, that determines what you think about yourself. That is how Jesus changed people. That's how Jesus changed that woman who we just read about that came into that dinner party and began to demonstrate her love for Him as she kissed His feet, as she opened that expensive jar of perfume. She knew how Jesus felt about her. All the people who Jesus touched saw themselves in the same way that the Apostle John saw himself. I'm the one that Jesus loves. Remember Zacchaeus, that despised tax collector? He was the one man in town that nobody would even sit down at the table with. He was a traitor. He was an outcast. And do you remember what Jesus said to him when he was up in that sycamore tree? Jesus said, "Come down because I'm going to your house to eat." Zacchaeus that day felt, "I am the one that Jesus loves." Let me tell you this morning, there's not a person here that is not truly the one that Jesus loves. Jesus knows your name. He knows you inside and out. He knows every sin you've ever committed, and He still loves you. And He longs to be with you. And He wants to go home with you today and eat at your table and speak words of affirmation and mercy and forgiveness and pardon to you. At this very moment, He's looking at you and He's loving you. Several years ago, a movie came out entitled The Last Emperor, a story about China and about the young child who was instated as the last emperor of that nation. That boy emperor lived a life of unbelievable luxury and indulgence. And he had 1,000 servants at his beck and call. And in one scene in the movie, his brother asked him, "Well, what happens to you when you do something wrong?" And that child emperor just stated matter-of-factly, "When I do something wrong, someone else is punished." And to demonstrate it, he reached over and just pushed a magnificent vase off its pedestal, and it shattered on the floor. And immediately, one of the servants who was in the room was taken out and beaten for the crime of the emperor. You see, at the cross, Jesus did the unimaginable. He changed the rules. He introduced grace. Now, it's all turned upside down. Now when we, the servants, do something wrong, He is the one who's beaten. He's the one who's punished for our crimes. Grace is free, but it's free to us for only one reason, and that's because Jesus has paid the price in full. No, God can do whatever He wants with His money. But you know what God has chosen to do? He's chosen to spend every last cent on us. That man in that picture behind me, that's me. I deserved punishment. But instead, God has given me forgiveness. And I deserved His anger. But He's only given me love. And I deserved public humiliation. But He has hidden all my sins in His blood. And I deserved His disapproval and His eternal banishment. But He has a dinner party planned for me. Have you experienced His grace? That's what He offers to every one of us. This morning, if you need to respond to the incredible grace of God, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.